Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness broadcast. It seems like ages. There were five Sundays in the month, and that means it's been 3 weeks since done update and taken the questions, but it does seem ages. In between, I've had a bit of a holiday, so that was really nice. This is the Friday the 3rd, which means that this should go out Andy Willing, the web guy, on the 5th, Sunday the 5th, so it should be on YouTube for Sunday the 5th. What I want to try and do today is to get as many questions in as possible. I'd like to try and get through them as fast as we can, and it's going to be easier today because there isn't a huge amount to update with, so maybe everybody goes on holiday, I don't know, but there haven't been many activities, and that's quite good. What I really wanted to do was, first of all, say that I did quite an interesting presentation to our west coast of the US a few days ago, to the Yelm Theatre, and that was a presentation, and I did mainly just make that for the American group, so it was mostly to do with the US and issues that would mean a lot. So I thought it's only fair then on this one that I make it more about the UK and we don't mention the US too much. I've also got the Ted Marr show tonight. I know it's really difficult sometimes for people in the UK and Europe to connect with his show, but that will again be obviously fairly American and quite strongly on that. So let's just keep this for the UK and the Europe side. BritExit, it's becoming quite an issue, not because the clock is ticking, but because certain people in high positions are being prodded with forks or red hot pokers to try to get them to go on the public and try and put pressure. So the last one we had was Mark Carney, who's interested and very keen on money. He's in the British Bank of England. And okay, well, we just had to stop that a minute because one of the new additions just jumped on me. You possibly saw him just walking in there. I wanted to finish off talking about BritExit and Mark Carney. And that basically is a high-ranking person in the money industry who has been told to put pressure on the British government to force a deal through. So it's a friend of the bankers, a friend of the European Union, a friend of the New World Order. Basically, trying to force a British government or any government to give in to the European Union and basically give them plenty of money to buy a nice gentle deal. What we're noticing is that the elite are turning more and more to putting pressure on people, trying to give them a fear or a scare tactic that if Britain comes out of the European Union without a deal, it's going to be bad news. One of the first companies to do that was the pharmaceuticals, basically saying that if there's no deal, there'll be no drugs on the market. Not prescribed drugs, of course. There'll be no drugs, and then the supermarkets jumped on the train saying, there's the new one. We'll talk about the new one in a moment. Look at that. See, trained up already. Ready young, already on the screen, ready to be world-class actors. So what we've got is supermarkets now saying, well, if there's a no deal, then there'll be no fresh fruit and vegetables. That's the target they're going for, fresh fruit and vegetables. And like 40% of all the fresh fruit and vegetables that are coming to Britain are coming from the European Union. So all I'm saying is that be aware that a lot of these outbursts are being directed from a very high source. I do believe there'll be a deal. I think it'll go right up to the wire. But even if there wasn't a deal, so what? It's New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Pakistan, India, United States of America, China. These countries all are not part of the European Union and countries that would willingly trade with us. So I'm not going to readily start jumping up and down and screaming at any government to hand over billions and billions of hard £1 to the European Union so that we get a gentle release. Basically, you're either in Europe or you're out. And we're out because we voted to come out. Okay, so that was the one thing there I wanted to do with that. The second thing, say that Over the last few months, did get through the workload quite well. That was very thanks to Rebecca and others. And so I've opened the diary up again. So if anybody does want to book, that diary is now open, running up to the end of the year. So please, you know, if you want to book, please do so. We're now open for bookings, and getting through the numbers quite quickly. So I'm glad about that. I don't have to wait too long. First of all, a big thank you to everyone who emailed me, messaged me regarding the loss of Ingmar. Ingmar was, every animal is special, but Ingmar was very special to me. And I found an old picture of him. Oh, there's another one there. You've now worked out that there are two different cats here, the little black one and the little silver one. They're all jumping on. So this is a photograph here. The big cat is called, there he is, Odin. And this little tiny thing here is Ingmar when he was very, very young. And that's about 12 years ago. So he was always a daddy's boy. He really wasn't that keen with his mum. So he was always, when I went to visit him before he came to live with me, always with his dad. So thank you very much indeed for everyone who wrote in to wish me well with the loss of the cat. That was great. It could support me a lot. Okay, so there have been some replacements. I initially wanted to get two because I always thought that two would be more supportive for each other. And then that black one that you can see in the corner just wouldn't stay in the house with the person, and so I had to have that one as well. So there are two, there's a brother and sister who are two little silver cats, and no doubt they will make your acquaintance soon. And the little black one as well, who is not in the same family but is of the same age. There are three new Norwegian Forest cats, and one has just jumped up behind me and is sitting behind me. I'm not going to disturb them because they have only been here about 4 days, so they're just settling in. As they develop and as they become more keen to take the camera limelight, I'm sure that you will be introduced to them. Right, let's go on with the questions. So okay, Rebecca, thank you.
Okay, thank you. The first question is from Elaine. Wishing you great success and good luck with your new show. Question: if one prays for help, is it a waste of time, or are we looking outside of ourselves for guidance, and are the answers within? Confused as to prayer regarding the need for solution to a problem. Thank you for the consideration of this message.
Right, I think that's a really good question. It's about removing religion from a connection to source. So if you're praying because you're following the directive of a religious organization, doesn't matter what it is, then you are channeling your energy or your intent or giving your authority to something. If you are speaking from the soul or the heart, and it's not religion, but you are calling out to central God, source, or you're wishing to communicate with that central power, then that's not religion. Now, if you're praying and you're adding all the additions of, you know, our God in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, thy kingdom come, and all this sort of stuff, well, that's not source, is it? That is your programming from a child to say the words that invoke this particular entity. So prayer is fine, providing it doesn't have all those trappings, and you are speaking to or asking of help from a divine source, doesn't matter what it is, a divine source, then that is beneficial. So I would strongly recommend that if that's how you want to communicate, you do, but with the words of warning that I put through it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Laura says, my husband recently had a session with you. We are so grateful. As a follow-up question, can you explain the difference between being a third, fourth, and fifth dimensional being or soul? Are they physically here?
Well, we're here because we're third dimensional. Well, allegedly. it is a lot to get your head around. Even people who say that they're incredibly spiritual and they've been on the circuit for 30, 40 years, you know, anybody who says, oh, I understand it 100%, I think they're being a bit disingenuous. We're third dimensional. That means we have a physical body. But the fourth and fifth dimensionals, they also have a physical body. but they don't exist in this realm unless they bring themselves here. Remember, it's if you have the technology and the capability, it's relatively easy to come down the ladder. You know, if you were a third dimensional being, you'd have had to have been, if you then became a fourth and then a fifth. Well, you've come up the tube, so you've created that pathway, you can come down it. But to go to an environment that you haven't yet won, you haven't yet done what was necessary, it's very hard to go up. You can project thoughts, messages and visions upwards, but to actually transport yourself upwards is very difficult. So if something was to come here from another dimension, and of course they regularly do, it depends in what state they intend to materialize here in. So if it's just a consciousness, then there'll be no physicality. If it's a physical form, but they intend just to be out of phase, then you won't see a physical form. You'll probably see a halo, an energy form. Sometimes people talk about energy beings, and the mistake is to always think that this is a 12th dimensional being that's light body, full of energy. If a fourth or fifth dimensional being wanted to appear that way, then it would be very easy for them to do so. If you think about the number of credible reports of alien bodies that are predominantly fourth dimensional, that are recovered by military, they're very physical. They're not energy. They don't sort of hoover them up with a magnet. They are very physical. They go into a body bag and off they go. So these are physical beings. It's only when you leave the sixth dimension and you then transfer into the seventh dimension that your organic body begins to change. So somebody from the eighth, ninth, tenth, eleventh, etc. dimension coming here, they would appear very differently to our eyes because they would not be of a physical nature. I hope that answers your question. Thank you.
There's another bit to it. It says, so in his incarnation on Earth, does he use a human body like an avatar? He started off as Pleiadian.
No, not at all. If a Palladian person comes here, then the soul is Palladian and the body is Palladian. This is, we're talking about someone who literally comes out of a craft. And they would exist here in their own right. The difficulty emerges when you go beyond the sixth, seventh dimension, because when a person breaks that barrier and then comes down to a physical world, the disparity between the two energies is very dangerous. I think it was Anastasia, I believe, who recounted a very credible story of how a human group of the 11th or 12th dimension crash landed here. The onboard computer took 3 days to make alterations so they could survive, but of the crew, maybe only 30% survived. And one of the stories, which for me makes it very real, is that these people who were sort of in a semi-transient state were trying to force grass and leaves into their mouth to chew, to try to connect themselves with a 3D reality. So a Palladian would have no problem in coming here and surviving. It is of the higher dimensions. After the sixth dimension, that's where we get issues. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If someone was a Pleiadian in a past life, but then reincarnated here on Earth in a human body, that's not an avatar, is it?
Or
is
no. It's just no, that's what so many people are. Yeah. You know, if you don't step off a spaceship, if you step off a spaceship 100,000 years ago, and then you're recycled, then you have I won't say an ordinary human body, because that's not going to work. A human body is designed for a third dimensional soul. That's it, because that's a third dimensional planet. So if you're going to put the Palladian soul into a human type body, you're going to have to do something to increase or escalate the vibrational frequency of the physical body to be in harmony with the soul. If you have a soul that beats at so many beats a second, and a physical body that can't match it, it's just going to fall apart. So there is manipulation, either from source itself, from the person's own team or their own side, their own players, or other entities that are tinkering around with the human race. And that is why when people do these genetic tests and different companies come back, some companies are quite good, because they will say to you, so much percentage of your DNA we can't identify. Well, why can't you identify? You're identifying human genetics. So, unfortunately, in the world we live in, they can't be honest and say, hey, you've got 3% alien. Can't do that. You just can't do it. So what they'll say is, you've got 3% that we can't identify. So if you do those sort of tests, the average is between 2 to 3% non-identifiable DNA. If you've got more than that, it means somebody's been tinkering around with your body so that the soul can survive quite happily in that. So if you're up to the 4 and 5%, then there's a great deal of work that's gone on in your body so that the soul can survive there. It's a fascinating subject. One day when disclosure and the truth on all subjects comes out, it'd be lovely to see these reports that say, hey, you've got 2% palladium, or you've got 3% this. But, you know, I'll just settle for 3% alien. But at the moment, they're saying unidentified DNA. Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next question is from Cherry or Cherie. As a psychic, I recently got the information that President Trump is an incarnation of King Herod. So many similarities between the two show up. If King Herod has shown up on the world stage, what other aspects of the past are repeating themselves, and for what purpose?
Okay, I haven't got that information. I haven't got that information. Let's say it's true. Let's say that he's a reincarnation of King Herod. I can go with that, in the sense that hopefully it's about learning. So if it was true, then I would hope that he had learnt from the mistakes he'd made in the past, and therefore was trying to A, atone for those mistakes, and B, actually use his skills and abilities for something positive, to take the human race forward to the next stage. Herod was the one, I think, that ordered all the newborn boy babies to be killed, because he was told that a God, Jesus, was going to come along and be a greater king than him. So if whoever it might be, if Herod was to return, I hope he wouldn't go through the same process, but would actually want to atone for that. And I don't mean in a negative way, running around beating himself. I mean, okay, what can you do to put back into the system? What have you learnt from that? How can you benefit humanity from all your experiences? So I haven't got that information, but if it was, I hope he would have learnt and were doing things for good. Thank you.
Thank you. Heather says, is there any real evidence that we have shifted to a parallel world? I've heard a lot about the Mandela effect, so what is your take on this, please? Love and light for all the wonderful work that you do.
Thank you. At the conference that was run by Kerry over in North London, I did a bit of a section on the Mandela effect. I hadn't covered it before, and I thought it was jolly high time that I did, because I do have some interest in it. I'm not saying everything is Mandela, but I think there are some aspects to it that are, and I do link it very heavily with the CERN Hadron device. Anything that manipulates time has an effect on that. And what was the question in terms of her specific answer she needs? It's about timelines, I thought, but I didn't quite get that.
Yeah, is there any real evidence that we've shifted to a parallel world?
Right, timelines, parallel world, that was what was confusing me. I don't normally talk about parallel worlds or parallel universes. I do talk about timelines. And there have been a number of shifts over the last 20, 30 years when the bad guys have pushed us one way, and then humanity, with a bit of help from somewhere else, has jumped us back on. We're not in a parallel world ourselves. That's not what I want to focus on. But we have a choice as to where we go within certain parameters. So within the corridor I've often talked about that has two walls left and to the right, we have choice as to how we traverse that corridor. Is there any proof of it? Yes, because we are breaking free. We have a very busy world, I know, and we're all very, very, very bombarded with things. But if you could just take 30 seconds and look back at the last 10, 20, 30 years, and if you want to look back further, but you're not old enough, then get some history books. The development of the spiritual base of humanity has grown in the last few years in a way that it has never grown before. For thousands of years, humanity has been kept down unquestioningly. Peaks and troughs, but generally unquestioningly. Now we've got a situation where humanity is being kept down, not broken free yet, but goodness me, are people questioning it? Yes, they are. So we are going through a massive change. That is why the bad people are looking for more and more clever tricks to try to control the situation. You no longer can have a gun or a spear or a bow and arrow pointed at you. They've got to use more covert, clever tricks because humanity is growing up. We're not babies and children anymore. Go back to the days of Queen Victoria. That's only in our time history. It's just a blink of an eye. Look how, I don't mean it disrespectfully, look how subservient people were. Look how when the First World War in 1914 was declared, and people were queuing up to be killed. They queued up, they weren't even called up to go and fight, they actually volunteered in their thousands. Wouldn't happen now. Now, people would say that's because we're not a patriotic country anymore. No, it's not. It's because people are choosing to argue, choosing to question, and there's nothing wrong in that. So, yes, we're going through that change, and I'm very, very pleased we're going through it. Can't come quick enough. Thank you. Good question.
Okay. The next one is from Chris. And it says, YouTube channelings, Hitler, Bird, Tompkins, Riccobono, Adonis, Donitz, Eisenhower, Lenin, amongst others, on why is this true? Your valued reaction appreciated. Thank you.
Right, Becky, do you think we're being asked about people who are channeling these individuals on this YouTube channel?
I'm afraid I don't know.
I'm going to take it as that. A slight understanding of this channel. I haven't seen very much of it. Quite like the person that presents it. And certainly the bit I heard, he was talking about an alien agenda that's been planned a very long time for the human race. I didn't hear the full part of it. What I would add to it is, yeah, the good guys and the bad guys. The bad guys plan to maintain the status quo, and the good guys plan to break the human race free. But both the good and the bad entities have agreed that there's a crucial time in which they both stand back for a short period of time to see what humanity does. Some people getting confused, they're calling things the event. This is actually the event, is when an arrangement that was made a very long time ago between good and evil, both basically draw back their chairs from the game of chess, and they wait to see what the chess pieces do themselves. So, to me, that really is the event. In terms of channeling, people who've listened to me know that I've got big problems with channeling. But it's absolutely possible. You know, if an entity, a living creature from goodness knows how long ago, wants to express itself, it will find a medium. It will find a person who can take that information and pass it across. I haven't heard any of those. I'm presuming that they've channeled, and I can't make a comment on that. But absolutely possible, yes, indeed. It's a good question. Thank you.
Okay. Elka from Canada says, so happy to have you back, Simon. Question. The gas attack in Syria has all the hallmarks of being a false flag. Was it? And why is Trump appearing to be participating in retaliating against Syria and Russia?
Okay, of course, I opted to take these questions on a first-come, first-served basis, which means some of them are quite old. Nevertheless, it's a valid question, and I would never say, look, that's an outdated question, we won't take it. So it's about honouring you know, the audience who put the questions forward. So please be patient with it. Don't say, oh, that's old news. It was a made-up thing. We had to be very, very careful because Assad had used gas weapons. He did have a history of using that, just as Saddam Hussein had a history of using it on his own people, the Kurds. But this instance was definitely made up. It was made up to put pressure on people. No, Trump wasn't giving in at all with any of that, not being blackmailed like that. When you are the policeman of the world, whether you like it or not, you know, every American president puts on the cop's uniform. He has to, because that's the world has given him that position. And if he turns around and says, hey, listen, I don't want it, then America no longer has the clout that it so desperately wants. He just sat down with the president of Russia and said, we've got a difficult situation. I'm going to say some bad words to you. You're going to say some bad words to me. We're going to make sure that gets on the press. I'm going to bomb some bits of desert. I give you 24 hours to get all your men out of there. And that'll keep the bad guys happy. And that's exactly what happened. It's staged, managed. It was designed. Putin and Trump got together to prevent a third world war. You know, if one side does not talk to the other and one side starts bombing the other side, and then either by intent or by accident one of those bombs falls and does serious damage to that superpower's infrastructure, then they will respond. But if you have the strength and determination and character to pick the phone up and say, let's not let this happen, but we have a world stage here and we have to play to the cameras, so let's give them what they want, but in reality we're going to make sure there's no nuclear war. And that's what happened. And the history has proven that out in many, many cases since Trump's taken office. There have been far too many instances of a potential for a catastrophe that had been engineered by bad people but never came to anything, because the two protagonists, Putin and Trump, never went the whole mile, because they have no intention of having another nuclear war. You know, like we had with Japan, we had two nuclear bombs on Japan. If Japan had a nuclear bomb, they would have retaliated. Now, the only reason that it was used because Japan didn't have the capability to come back. But had there been, there would have been a nuclear war. Now Russia and America have the highest stockpiles of nuclear weapons. Doesn't it make sense for those two people to at least have a very good rapport? You know, why would these evil, desperate people want America and Russia to be at each other's throats? Why would you want that? Both have enough nuclear weapons to wipe out the humanity on this planet 20, 30, 40, 50 fold. Why would you want these people escalating and being angry? It's ridiculous. So no, he did the right thing. It was a good question. Do not believe the media. Do not believe them. They had their own... They're weakening now. This is a few months ago when they had real control. They're actually weakening a lot now. Good question, thank you.
Okay, Irene says, you have said that after we die, we are recycled back to Earth if we don't manage to pass through a barrier that has been set up to trap and recycle humans back to Earth.
Yep.
How does this idea of recycling of souls fit with a book written by Michael Newton, Life Between Lives and Destiny of Souls, where he hypnotizes people to remember the time between their earthly lives? Under hypnosis, people report their time between lives as a happy and blissful time where they met their loved ones and spiritual guides while preparing for their next incarnation.
It's a really good question. Two very good, hopefully good answers. The first one is that a percentage of those people broke through the grid. They actually went back to source. And as a result of that, they actually did have the experiences that they recount. So they weren't captured, they got through, but then they decided for whatever reason they needed to come back. And then there's another group that were captured and had false memories implanted. So they believe that they met all their families, etc., etc. The exciting thing is to decide and to work out which ones have had a real escape through the grid, back to source or back to the star family, those of their loved ones that connected with them, and which ones of those were implanted memories. That isn't something that I would want to do with a client, because how would you tell somebody who, you know, is absolutely convinced that their great-great Auntie Agatha, who they loved as a child, they went back and they had a wonderful time with them, and you could say, well, actually, no, you were just screen memoried. Can't do that. I think every individual has to ask him or herself and to ask themselves whether these things are real, and the percentage of them are real. If you can break through that grid, you will go back to source, and if you go back to source, you will connect with a lot of people who also broke through the grid. Why would you come back? Well, why do any of us come here? We come here to learn or to assist. A really good question. I hope that answers it. Thank you.
Thank you. Pauline says, Dear Simon, so lovely to be back with you. I send you much love from Colorado and thank you for your service. I wanted to ask you about bifurcation of the planet and parallel universes. I am wondering, as humanity forges through this change, will it mean that those who intend on trying to control the narrative will simply separate themselves in their own negative power struggle reality, while humans move forward into a positive destiny, essentially splitting off into separate worlds? Thanks, Pauline.
I think you've answered your own question, but I guess it's just perhaps helpful to have a bit of clarification on that. And Dolores Cannon is one of the few people that I had a lot of time for in that particular field of her work. She's one of the first to work with regression, who understood the concept of aliens. Not everybody was a spirit guide. Not everybody was love and light. There were some entities that were downright evil, and there were some that were benign and some that were neither one nor the other. And so she actually taught her practitioners to identify that, and that's a really important aspect here. When the division comes, there will be some form of division, there has to be. It will be through choice. People will choose whether they're going to stay in this paradigm because they're happy with it, they're confident with it. They may hate it, but they're fearful of stepping out of it. It's all they know. You know, I go to the store, I pay the money, you know, the mailman comes around in the morning, and, you know, this is the pattern they're in, and they feel confident with that. And there are those who think, I want something different. I've grown beyond this. I don't want this anymore. There's got to be something more to life than this. And this natural division will occur, and those that really enjoy being here, and I don't mean the planet, we, you know, spiritual people love the planet. I love the planet, but it's the control system that we don't love, and that's the control system that has got no place in the new call it the new earth, don't know what else to call it really, but that control system is fourth dimensional. The paradigm that's been created is fifth dimensional. It has to be fifth and not fourth. There's a lot of people struggling to get to grips with this. They say, and I understand why, we're third dimensional, surely we go into the fourth and then the fifth. Why are we jumping straight from the third to the fifth? I'm trying to explain this in a way that carries the conviction of the energies, that this is a third dimensional planet, but it's been corrupted with fourth dimensional energy. Things like Babylon, Sumeria, that's all fourth dimensional. Greys, reptilians, they're all fourth dimensional. So if you take a third dimensional world and you put a steel band around it, in this case it's the fourth dimensional energy, and you imprison people, not in a third dimensional world, but in a fourth dimensional prison. But those beings break through that fourth dimensional steel band. They've won the right to live in the fifth dimension. They don't need to go into the fourth dimension because they broke the control system that was fourth dimensional. That is why the fourth dimensional entities, the bad ones, are so interested here, because they've got a great amount of investment in energy, not money, but in energy and time. So those who know no different, choose to be this way, they will stay with this type of energy. And those of us who say, listen, enough of this, I'm going, and that will happen. Now, will some members of the family go and some stay? Yes, of course. It's a free choice. That's why I do and others do what we can, because I want everyone, when the time comes, to have had enough research, to have had enough opportunities, to be able to make the choice. You know, how awful for people who say, at that moment, I don't know, because I've never heard this message before. And they have to make a choice purely on the soul, on, you know, do I do this? Does it feel right? Or do I not? Those of us who have been on this journey, we are arguing this in our mind. Every day we argue this, so that when the time comes, it's something we've rehearsed. Now, whether we'll be any better than those who just happen upon it, who knows? But, you know, once you know the truth, how can you be quiet? How can you sit still? How can you calm? You know, you've just got to actually say to people, this is coming. Do your own research. When the time comes, make your choice. And the choice will be right for you. We mustn't prejudge people. We mustn't say everybody who goes to stay in the fourth energy dimension is wrong, and everyone who is enlightened and love will go upwards. It's the right choice for that person. And we mustn't judge, we mustn't make a prejudiced point on that. You know, you don't say you're a bad person because you're going to stay in the fourth dimension. What we say is you weren't ready for it. You weren't ready to make the move, but maybe in 100,000 years you will be. And that's the reality of it. That's the best way to be. Great. Thank you. Next one.
Karen says, I want to understand the difference between these two. One, someone being a completely higher human Andromedan soul, but yet having the physical body with a reptilian energy signature, compared to two, someone's soul being a mix of mounted, Middle-earth and reptilian.
Oh, like me.
How can the higher human soul end up in a reptilian body if their soul is not reptilian?
Right, really complicated. Let's break it into, three pieces. Let's do the first bit first, the first question. Let's take that, please.
Someone being a completely higher human Andromedan soul, but you're having a physical body with a reptilian energy signature. So a human physical body.
Right. Yeah, not an Andromedan body. That's where it doesn't make sense.
Andromedan soul with a human physical body with a reptilian energy signature.
Right, okay. If you're an Andromedan, then you have, let's say, Alex Collier, Andromedan soul, and you incarnate in a physical body, a human body, and you go on and you go on, but through your own decision, you incarnate in a reptilian physical body or an Anunnaki body, part reptilian, part something else, you will maintain that energy. So the soul is 100% Palladian, but you will have an energy field to you of the type of bodies and the field of energy that you've survived in. So if you were a native North American Indian, and you were very much in touch with the planet and the earth and the animals, you will have this earthly third dimensional energy around you. But if you zipped off to ancient Egypt and you worked with the pharaoh, you would have this fourth dimensional energy around you. And so that's what people like me can read, that a person would have a 100% soul of one type, but is carrying an energy field picked up from incarnations in the past. What's the next middle part of the question, please?
Okay, so the middle one is someone's soul being a mix of mounted, Middle-earth and reptilian, so three different distinct soul parts.
But what's the question?
This person wants to understand the difference between the two. So one of them is like a 100% Andromedan soul, but with a reptilian energy signature.
Which we've answered.
And the other one is someone's soul being a mixture of three different soul parts.
Right. So it's not to do with this. The middle part of the question is not to do with the physical body. It's to do with the soul. Where the first part of the question was to do with the body. I understand that. Thanks. That's very helpful. Right. There are two ways that can happen. You can either do it through agreement with source, presumably, or it's done against your will with beings who are breaking the law and use the most advanced technologies. So it's either done against your will or it's done with the will. Now, there's that stream of thought that says everything's with your agreement. That's the way the universe works. I can't give an opinion on that one, but I the best I can do is to say that either source creates that because it's something that you as an individual have agreed to as part of a long-term plan, or somebody else has done it because they want to put you in the position to be part of their world, because they think that you can help them. So that's the two threads that go through that. What's the last question part?
How can the higher human soul end up in a reptilian body if their soul is not reptilian?
Easily. If you are a reptilian lord and you come to this planet, the soul is of a royal lineage. In the same way, be very careful what I say here, in the same way that Princess Diana was brought into the royal family to rejuvenate the stock to give children because the line was beginning to deteriorate, in the same way in the past the reptilians have brought in higher humans who have been a very, very pure line to regenerate their line. So that's how it works, and there's a history for it. It works through, because remember that if you interbreed all the time, you destroy your breeding stock. So from time to time you have to bring something in that's completely different, and actually the purer the better. You notice that when evil people sacrifice, they sacrifice the most pure. So that's what they're doing. If you incarnate in a reptilian body, you may do that because you wish to understand how these people live. You wish to understand why this group, let's call them Group A, are oppressing Group B. The only way you're going to really understand that is to be that person. And then when you incarnate back into your own body, you've got that as an understanding, which means that you're much more effective at fighting for the purposes of good because you understand where those guys are coming from. So this is, again, all through choice. But that would mean that the person that you incarnated into has agreed, because not all reptilians are bad, not all fourth dimensional beings are bad, and some of them will work, I can't understand all the reasons, but some of them will work for the greater good. So those are the possible aspects that could happen. That's a very good question.
I've actually just understood what the person's trying to ask, because they've gone to say, how can the higher human soul end up in a reptilian body if their soul's not reptilian? Would such a person not also be described as a hybrid? So what I think the difference between someone whose soul has three distinct parts, that is, three distinct souls that have come from three different lines that have been merged. So, for example, with you, I've had a human history, a reptilian history, and a mounted history, and they've been blended at some point so that you have the history of all three. It's not one soul that's had lives dotted around in three different bodies.
Thank you, you're right. When we, through the media, publications, the internet, we talk about hybridization, we automatically think of the physical body. We think about the big head, no eyebrows, no hair. We think about hybridization as a hybridization of the physical form, whereas we can be considered a hybrid from the soul. But that's something that the human race hasn't really grasped. It's grasped the physical aspect, but it hasn't grasped the energy soul aspect. So yes, you could be described as a hybrid from the soul perspective as well as a physical perspective. So yeah, hopefully that answers the questions.
Okay, thanks. Um, Elka from Canada has said, can you tell me what star Soul Leaders Canada's PM Trudeau comes from? How good or bad is he? He has recently been in the UK and has had an audience with the Queen. Is he getting more instructions and does he know who she really is? Thank you, Simon.
Thank you. I always work by photographs. That's why often I'll ask a client to, if they have questions about the children or loved ones, I need photographs. And although I'm aware of him, I would need to look at a photograph now. I can answer a bit more genetically. If you have a banking history or you have an investment background, then you are more likely to have thrown your lot in with the wealthy, with the controlling elite. Indeed, if you're a prime minister, you've most likely got the position because someone identified you for that many, many years ago. And the system doesn't usually let people take high positions of authority unless they control them. And if they lose control of them, or they didn't control them in the first place, they'll end up murdering them. So anybody who's a prime minister or a president would generally, I say generally, be up through the rungs of the ladder. Now, in Trump's position, that's very different. He's a bit like JFK. He's a maverick. He's different. He's uncontrollable. So there are characters who, from time to time, make it to very high positions who are not controlled by the system. But generally speaking, they are. The guy you mentioned, Trudeau, is part of the system. He's controlled. He's not an evil person, but he takes his orders. Yes, of course, the Queen is... Why would you visit the Queen? I mean, President Trump sent a very, very important message before he met the Queen, because he knows that leaders meet the Queen because they come to pay homage. They come to not be told what to do, but they come to show that they are they're secondary, they're not as important as Her Majesty the Queen, that they will do what she says and they will be helpful to Her Majesty the Queen. And what did President Trump do? He made sure he arrived at the meeting with the Queen a little bit late. Unheard of that the President arrived a bit late. And he tweeted, no, I didn't. He said, I arrived 15 minutes early. It's all part of his humour, because if you look at the bits, you find that his appointment was 5 o'clock, and he didn't arrive till after five. So he certainly didn't arrive 15 minutes early, and he did arrive late. And what he was doing, I think, is he's saying, look, I'm meeting this person, but you know, I'm not going to tell her that she's my boss, and I'm not going to tell her that I'm going to do what she wants me to do. Whereas all the other leaders, and remember that picture that I did about 4 years ago in a conference, I had a picture of George Bush standing by the Queen and his hands down by his side and giving the devil sign, because he was like a little schoolboy. He was so proud that he was standing next to the principal, and you know, it was his big life ambition to have a picture taken next to, you know, the number one person. So if Trudeau came to meet the Queen, he came to tell her that your colony is safe, madam. You know, don't worry about that, for those French-speaking people, will keep them under control. And you tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Yes, that's probably what the gist of the conversation they had. Thank you. Next question.
Okay. This one is also from Elka, who must have put in quite a few questions.
Okay.
But this one could be relevant to many. She says, my ethnicity is German. Would that automatically mean I have a higher proportion of reptilian soul source due to the history of the German people?
No, not at all. What it might mean is that you have more trauma due to the history of the German people. You may be carrying in the DNA trauma from two world wars and other bits and pieces that have gone on. In terms of are you more likely to have a reptilian soul? No. Absolutely not. It doesn't work like that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The next question is from Radhika from Holland. I would like to know how to rid of the parasites in my lungs, which I inhaled from chemtrails. I have also had worms in my brain eating my brain stem or brain steam, but this is gone, I believe. I've done parasite cleansing and high frequency tones. Unfortunately, the worms in my lungs are not gone completely.
Right. We'd have to look at a 3D aspect before you did anything else. There's such a thing as a lung worm that has an interesting cycle, migrates, and then comes back again, I believe. So if it's a physical parasite, then that is literally coming from contamination of one sort or another, and can actually be dealt with relatively easily with medicine. I don't know what damage it might leave afterwards, but it can definitely be dealt with. When we're talking about parasites that are coming from chemtrails, we're only talking about a small percentage. These are ones that are, or have been, they're not dropping them now, but they were kept in a sort of a gelatin mass. And you may yourself, over the few years ago, seen a sort of a sticky, gooey substance on the sidewalk. That is a nutrient, and these things were living in that. And was one of the experiments that they were doing. Of course, they would never admit to it. Most parasites, interestingly enough, are not physical. Most parasites are fourth dimensional energy, and the big push from the bad guys is, how do you get a fourth dimensional entity of an energy basis to live in a third dimensional body, so that the third dimensional body is a host? Think about the Alien films, or the latest Alien film, where the human body takes something and alters and changes it. And that's really what they've been on for the last 25, 30 years. So I would suggest in your case that it's medicine that you're looking for. If you've got worms that are physical, then they can be killed with physical medicine. If you're looking at parasites that are not detected on a biological level but are detected on an energy level, then you're looking at different forms to do it. Now, physical parasites can be destroyed with high sonic waves, but you can just as well get medicine and that can treat for that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Diana says, I did a saliva test with National Geographic Genome DNA Ancestry to find out about my ancestry. I am originally from Venezuela. All my family is from Cuba, but my grandparents are from Spain. I am AB negative blood group. I was very surprised when I got the results and I found out that I am 2.5% Asian, 7.5% Black, and 89% European. My family is very Hispanic, but the Hispanic origin was not part of my results. Do you think that the results provided by NG are accurate, or that they are misleading people and keeping the real results to themselves?
Not clear by what she means by the Hispanic bit was not expected or not related.
But was not part. My family is very Hispanic, right, but the Hispanic origin was not part of my results.
It means what she means is the results did not mention the Hispanic, but she said it was how much? She said 2% Hispanic.
She said 2.5% Asian, 7.5% Black, and 89% European.
Right, so she was looking for a specific country within European.
Actually, that makes a total of 99, so there's still 1%, those 1%.
Which is normal. Right. Different companies test differently, but get the broadly same result. But different companies express their findings in remarkably different ways. Some companies actually list Spanish, English, Italian. Some people just lump you all in, you're European. So what I suggest you do is, when you want one of these tests, you write beforehand and you say, can you tell me how you express it? You know, because you don't just want to be told X percent is European, because you might be from the Cathar line, and you would be very interested in that, perhaps. So specifically ask that. About the National Geographic, no, I think that they're just like everyone else. They're just out to make money. What's more important is those companies that actually, and we mentioned this a little earlier, that specify unidentified genome. If they sort of say, well, you've got DNA, but we can't identify it. This is the joke, but why can't you identify it? I'm human. Well, you've got between 1% and 2% we can't identify. So what Becky's just done is done a rough calculation, and it was 99%. So absolutely, they're basically saying, by not saying it, that 1% of you we can't work out. Well, that's exactly right, because that's alien. So average is between 1 and 2%. 1 and 2% of most people on this planet will have a genetic material that cannot be traced because it's off this planet. That's standard. When you get to 3, 4, 5% and upwards, then that is a very heavy alien influence on the physical DNA of your body, designed to alter and change you, because what you're carrying is obviously quite demanding. It doesn't mean that person is better than somebody who only has 1%. It means that the vibrational frequency, or the disparity between that which has been brought into the physical body and the physical body's connection, is so great that they've had to alter the physical body. If you're going to run, if you're going to put lots of supercomputers, shall we say, into a building, you've got to bring lots of extra cabling in to support that device. And try and look on it like that. It doesn't mean that that building is any better than the building next door to it. It's just going to have a different purpose. Thank you. I'm going to go and do my thank yous to people. There's a few more than normal because it's been 3 weeks, and I'm going to just write now and just thank you all. I've been on a holiday, and I have been trying to. There he is. Look. Ah. Well done, young man. We thought you weren't going to put an appearance in. I do try and write sometimes to message people back to thank them for their donations, but I've been on the vacation, so I've been a bit remiss. But I always know I'm going to catch you all up with this. So here we go. Quite a lot, but I don't care, because I want to thank you all. So a very great thank you to Natalie, Pavla, Rita, John, Rudolph, Archaeopteryx. What a great name, Archaeopteryx. I should have brought my Archaeopteryx model next time. I will. Stefan, Julie, Natalie, Sarah, Eric, Danielle, Kristen, Robert, Francis, Marvin, Donnie, Jay, Alfredo, George, Charlie, Blue, Robin, Shari, Martin, Sheena, Drumset, of course, Julie, Adrian, Liona, Hans. Hans, thank you. That was a really helpful donation just before my holiday. That was great. It meant I could put petrol in the car and go somewhere. Simon, Maria, Bjorn, Valerie, Rick, Enrique, Robert, Louis, Julius, Sue, Kevin, Brian, Dietmar, Max, Ortsy, I think that's Word Shaman, Catherine, Christopher, Sue, Edgar, Tina, Shamsa, Alisa, Philanka, Mr. Peter, Brendan, Henry, Alan, Trish, Robert. That's the second Robert. There were two Roberts. I could have cheated and just used the word Robert, but I don't do that. There were two Roberts. Charlotte, Anna, Christian, Isabel, and nearly finished, Cheryl, D, just the letter D, Nadjuris, and Ursula. So to all of you who have so very kindly donated and kept me going to conferences, doing the work, talking to people, paying the phone bill, you know, thank you for that. It's really appreciated. I can keep here, keep doing this. You're supporting me, and it means so much to me, so thank you.
Okay, Tibor says, the soul-body relationship is more important than it is described by many sources. The body very much determines the physical and mental capabilities, genetic disease profile, and much more. The human body most probably alters the experience of a reptilian, Pleiadian, or cat soul. The terrestrial body is probably in a close relationship with Gaia. Please tell us your views about the importance of the soul-body relationship.
I agree with much of what you've said, but not in its entirety. When a person incarnates on this planet, they carry the history of all of their lives, but the major aspect is the one that drives through. And each lifetime they have a fresh choice, if they can bring themselves to that point. And it is the conscious mind, undoubtedly, that the organic body, that does play a part here. And it's about learning and understanding, or trying to use experiences to change or develop for the better. But I wouldn't put a huge amount of emphasis on the physical body, because remember, the physical body dies. It's either burnt, buried in the ground, or what have you. But the soul does not die. Therefore, I have no problem in saying the soul is more important, because it goes on and on and on. And the memory is not just contained in the organic brain, that just holds the memory for one lifetime. It is the memory of the soul. So when the soul incarnates in the body, that is a fresh new body. That fresh new body doesn't say, oh yes, I remember 1,000 years ago when I did this. It is the memory coming from the soul that is retrievable and goes into the brain of that person, and that brain then is accessing, the organic brain is accessing the memory from the soul and the DNA. However, I do fully accept that the lifetime that or those individuals have can change, if they choose to, that person and the learning. Now, this is going to be interesting, because this cat was thinking of jumping up, saw the white cat up there, and thought better of it, because the white cat's very unpredictable. So it's probably a right thing to do. So when the actual soul goes into the body, what it does is it says, okay, I'm in a new body, it's a compatible body, that's why I've chosen it, and I can work with this body. And then maybe the soul starts to do things, and the brain says, well, my interpretation of that is in this way, which throws up some conflict between the soul and the brain. And then they have to work that out, and either a compromise is reached, or you go down one of the other routes. So certainly each lifetime there is an opportunity for this interaction between physical and energy, and hopefully learning comes from it. It's whether you put that into practice that matters, but it is the soul that is the repository for the lifetimes of memory, which the brain may or may not have access to. That's a really good question. Nobody has asked me that before. I think I'm going to take one more, and then I think I'm going to call it a day.
Thank you. The last question is from Teresa, who says, what can we do to protect ourselves regarding the dollar failing? Thank you.
Well, it won't just be the dollar that failed, would it, I guess? There's a potential for every currency to fail, so perhaps the advice I would give would be for everybody. It's not hugely likely now with President Trump. America now holds the largest repository of silver anywhere in the world. Yep, that's fact. America has been stockpiling silver for the last 2.5-3 years. Can't get its hands on the gold. The Chinese have got all the gold. Well, not all of it, but they've got the lion's share of it. But silver, of course, there are silver mines in the US, and silver is a metal that traditionally America has struck its dollars on. So it makes perfect sense for America, if it wanted to move to a silver-backed currency. The difficulty, of course, is the Federal Reserve Bank. It cost JFK his life. It wasn't JFK was going to go public with aliens that caused his murder. It was his intention to take apart the Federal Reserve and go back to the gold standard. I think one thing at a time for our President of the US, one thing at a time, Mr. President. If you're in a position at some point in the future to take some action with the Fed, then you've got the silver. You can move to a hard-backed currency. So that's my take on that. If there was to be some form of collapse, think about the 2008 collapse. That was a banking collapse. That wasn't a supply chain collapse. It wasn't a collapse in the stock markets, obviously of those particular industries, it wasn't a loss of confidence in the countries and its abilities to produce, etc., but it was a collapse in the confidence of greed. That's what it was. The sudden waking up to the fact that you can't rip off many more millions of people, and you can't keep lying and cheating, because that window's about to be closed. So they go into panic, don't they? There's no problem, because what does the government do? It just hits the taxpayer and bails everyone out, and these people just say they're sorry, and then for a couple of years they pretend to be sorry, and then of course they just go back doing whatever they do again. You've got to look at the price of cryptocurrencies. You've got to look at the price of gold and silver. You've got to check your stock exchange at least 2 to 3 times a day. You'll get an idea of look at property prices, look at precious metal prices, and you'll begin to get a feel for what is average in an average week. And if you think about 9/11, the signs were 24 to 36 hours before there was something going to happen. People didn't know what's going to happen, but looking at the way that the stock market altered, particularly with United Airlines, looking at some of the traffic that was going around on the internet, these things leak out. So you would have at least 24 hours notice if there was going to be a serious instance. People who are in the know still have their water supply, still have their tin food or their special food supply, still have a safe place to go to. I'm not talking about the people that just stockpile guns and ammunition because the end of the world's coming. I'm talking about average, ordinary people who, it might be a bit difficult on the streets for 3 or 4 weeks. Now, we went through a phase where that was really possible 2-3 years ago, really possible. And we came within what we would say in Great Britain was a gnat's whisker. Gnats don't have whiskers, but, you know, that's how small it was, of a real meltdown. And it was to do with the Qatari government bailing out Deutsche Bank. That's what saved Europe. The Qatari government basically bankrolled Deutsche Bank. So it's not looking like that. The system didn't want to crash. Every crash, whether it's the 1929 Wall Street crash, whether it was the 2008 supposedly Lehman Brothers crash, these were all engineered to make lots of money. If you know that the government is going to just hit the taxpayer and pay you all back, there's no problem. You just do it anyway. This potential crash that I and others have warned about was the first time in history, to my knowledge, that it was unorchestrated. It was going to happen without the control of the elite. They weren't going to be able to control that system. Yeah, sure, they could come in on the back of it and buy up companies dirt cheap, but they would be hit just as badly as everyone else. That's why they've been fighting tooth and nail to prevent that crash. There is no other time in history where so much has been done to either alter the timelines or prop up failing organizations, because it wasn't in the elite's interest for a systemic crash. They're quite happy with small control crashes, but a systemic crash, which is what was on the cards and has been for the last 30, 40 years, and has been temporarily pushed off, has only temporarily pushed off, is one that the elite would rather not consider. So just do what you would always do in the circumstance. Have a few bits put by, have some money, you know, hidden in your home. What's the good in hiding gold? What you're going to do, go to the 7-Eleven store with the gold coin and say, what will I exchange that for? You've got to be so careful. So yeah, just keep some dollars, keep some small bits of gold, but basically maintain a system that allows you to be self-sufficient for a period of 4 weeks, because any difficulty we have would be short-lived. Right, listen, it's been really lovely to get back with you. It's been 3 weeks. It seems like an age, especially as I had a holiday and I've got some new additions to the family who now seem to be very shy. Thank you ever so much for listening. Thank you for your support. Keep watching the news. Yes, watch the news, look at the lies, understand what they're trying to say and why they're trying to do that, and then compare it with what you really know to be true. So thanks ever so much, and God bless, and speak to you soon. Bye bye.